We told you we're having a monster football season preview today and throughout the week on the show. You've already heard from Kevin Burkhardt from the A-Team on Fox and one of our favorite analysts in America, one of the top analysts at CBS, our buddy Charles Davis, is on the Rude guest hotline right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Charles, I know you're opening the season in Indianapolis with the Dolphins and the Colts, so we'll bounce all over the league with you, but I want to start with that matchup, if you don't mind. Give us the key storylines going into the game one that you're prepping for this week.
I think the easy ones are with the Dolphins. Can they run the ball better than they did last year? They revamped their offensive line. Will that come together for them? It's hard to believe things get better when you lose a Tron Armstead at left tackle. But I'm talking about overall across the board. They've got to be able to run it better. And if Devon Achane is healthy, as they claim he is, then that's a great start towards it. And we'll see where it goes from there. Can they get the receivers out wide back in form? You know, last year, you know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, they didn't hit the numbers they normally hit. Part of that was because Tua was hurt. So, you know, you're right back to, is Tua healthy? Because if he plays 17, this Dolphins team feels like they've got, you know, enough frontline talent. They should be a factor for the playoffs. And I do think their pass rush could be really, really impressive with Phillips and Chop Robinson and now add Matthew Judon and Bradley Chubb's return. They can get going that way. For the Colts, look, it's hard to believe. I was part of a broadcast team that did their last playoff game, which was 2020. And it's kind of stunning to believe that because for so long and so much of our lifetime, the Colts have been a major factor in what's going on in the NFL. And there they were falling short again last year. So much change, but it really comes down to Daniel Jones. He won the job beating out Anthony Richardson, their number 4 overall pick. He has to play well for them, and they feel like they've given him enough people around him that he can. The big thing, guys, is simply you look at his, you know, yards downfield, how, you know, where he pushes the ball, and he hasn't done much of that in his career, so people think he can't. But I think this is the best opportunity for him to do that. So if he doesn't now, it's because he won't. You know, you got Jonathan Taylor running it, and Pierce and Pittman and Downs running downfield. And, you know, if they get Adonai Mitchell going, that's another huge threat. Now, Tyler Warren has been added. You see where I'm going with this. I think this offensive line is good enough, even with a couple of changes, that he should have that opportunity to throw it downfield. And he says that he will. And that's going to be a big, big key to what they do. And, of course, Lou Anarumo taking over a defensive coordinator. So a lot of storylines going into this game, but I think we could probably say that about every game we talk about.
Yeah, let's go chronological here. Thursday, we are not that long away from a division rivalry that, you know, kind of affects Washington tangentially. Charles, I was on Dallas as kind of a, you know, everyone's kind of looking past them. I thought with Micah or even his alter ego, Michael Parsons, they would be a factor, not necessarily catching Philadelphia, but, you know, a team you wouldn't want to play with, an offense that's healthy with some pieces. Now without him, I don't know. Just sort of walk me through your thoughts on Dallas and you know, the king until someone knocks them off, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, look, Philadelphia's got the best roster in football and continues to have the best roster in football. So I don't think there's much change there. We always worry about teams with Super Bowl hangovers and slumps and things of that nature. I'm going to wait and see that and see if it's proven to be. Because I have to tell you, teams that run the ball so effectively and run it first, last, and always, I feel like they're teams that can avoid that in a lot of ways. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. But until we see it down the road, I think Philadelphia's, you know, primed and ready to go. With Dallas, it is a huge question mark, isn't it? How much of all this offseason upheaval and now him being gone, Parsons being gone, does that affect this team? Because in the past, we've had offseason upheaval, but all those guys eventually got signed and remain Cowboys. Dak, CeeDee Lamb, you know, things that players of that ilk and nature. Now Parsons is gone. You got 2 draft picks for him that don't help you a lot going into 2025, do they? They may help the team later, but they don't help you going into this season. Huge question mark, but, you know, those Thursday night openers can be kind of weird, can't they? I still remember, was it Kansas City, New England? In New England? Some back named Kareem Hunt from where? A Mac school? What? He actually fumbled in that game. Do you guys know that was the last fumble he's had in the NFL?
Is that right?
Wow.
It's unbelievable because he just doesn't drop the football. But you remember, he ended up leading the league in rushing that year as a rookie. He had over 1,300 yards. And it was funny because I asked Andy Reid, I said, where did you first see this? Like, how'd you know about him? He said, I was sitting here doodling one night and had the TV on, and is that Maction? And this kid was just running all over everyone, and I made note of him, and then I saw they were playing again later that year, so I watched him again. Andy scouted him on TV first and then called Brett Beach and said, you better take a look at this running back. And that's how they ended up getting him.
That's amazing. Charles Davis is with us. Speaking of the draft, nobody better that time of year on NFL Network with his analysis. CBS Sports on the call of the NFL. He'll be the number one college analyst starting next football season for their CBS telecast as well. He's a rock star. He's with us here on Grant and Danny to help us kick off the NFL season. Charles, what do you make of the discourse on Washington, whether it's, you know, the possible sophomore slump or regression for Jaden Daniels? Yeah. Everything went great last year, or just year two of this program now with Adam Peters, Dan Quinn?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it, that we get so excited about teams, and especially what we saw last year with Washington. And I really felt like, guys, it wasn't just fans of D.C. I felt like around the league, people were kind of like, this is kind of cool. Washington being bad, especially if you're like my vintage, when you felt like every Sunday, Pat Summerall and John Madden were doing a game from RFK. You know, or they were playing someone in the division. It was just so huge. This felt good. I think I told you guys last year, visiting the facility now is entirely different. You go there and it just feels great. The atmosphere is good. The people are moving around and getting things done and smiling. Dan Quinn has been here before in Atlanta. And I know people felt like, you know, Dan had too many phrases and slogans and, you know, all those things that maybe kind of lost the guys. But you remember, he did that deep dive on himself and kind of came back and recalibrated. Adam Peters has been aggressive from the moment he took over as a GM. There's been no timidity in him at all. People have talked about all the moves they made this offseason. Guys, we were together last year, and Marshawn Lattimore happened. And I'm like, I don't think he waited until this year. He got after it now. The drafting last year, the bringing in Lattimore. I just feel like this team is going to do exactly what Dan Quinn would say, one of his pet phrases. They're going to go for it. And I think they're going to go for it in a very nice way. I think this team is built to handle what's going to come at them, because you guys know as well as I do, their rise and pop-up, now people circle them on the calendar and on the schedule. People come at them a little bit differently. But I want to see if Jaden Daniels is going to regress. I just don't see it happening. I think this team continues to progress, and they will be a factor in chasing down Philadelphia. Because the NFC East, when was the last time we had a repeat winner, guys? 2004.
Yeah, decades ago.
2004, and it was Philadelphia. And Philly's got a chance to do it again. But I think Washington's going to challenge the heck out of them, and they're going to make them earn it if they indeed get it.
Our guy Charles Davis with us here on G&D. Washington's week two opponent, Green Bay. If there's such a thing as a quiet 11-6, they might have been that last year. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah,
great point.
Yeah, so now they got Detroit week one. I want to ask you about those two teams. How close is that gap now with Micah Parsons in the fold after what, you know, the expectations last year, Charles, for Jordan Love were astronomical given how he finished 23. Still an okay season, but not what we thought. Give me kind of a temperature check on Green Bay, and how close is that gap between them and Detroit in your mind?
The gap had actually closed, I think, in the minds of many even before the Parsons deal. And you laid it out perfectly. If there's ever such a thing as a quiet 11-6, but of course it's going to be quiet because one team won 15 and one team won 14 in your division. I mean, how often is that going to happen? Not very. And now with Detroit, new coordinators and blah, 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 right? You know, Minnesota, quarterback, he's not a rookie, but he might as well be because he hasn't played yet. All those things put Green Bay in prime position. To me, the Parsons deal is big because it told all of us that Green Bay was doing business differently than they've ever done it. And I mean, I'm talking about going from Ron Wolf as the GM to Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst. Have we ever thought about Green Bay breaking ranks, getting out of draft and develop, giving up picks and going out to get someone? No, it's not been their style. This was a big difference. So, like Dan Quinn, they've announced to the world they're going for it without totally breaking the bank. Sure, giving up two number ones is a big deal. But they feel like they've got infrastructure in place, a young quarterback, yada, yada, yada. That young quarterback who has played well the second half of both years as a starter has got to have those types of starts now, not just the second half of the year. See where I'm going with this? Jordan Love's got to come out of the gate ready to rock and roll. He's had slow starts before and finished really strong. That can't happen this year if Green Bay is going to do what they think they can, which is chase down Detroit and Minnesota. And I think it's realistic when people say Green Bay can win the division. I think they absolutely can.
Charles, one of the divisions you're going to spend a lot of time covering this year and calling games in is the AFC North, where the Ravens are heavy favorites. Do you think Baltimore reloaded enough to overtake Kansas City? And then what about Cincinnati, who was 4-4 in games where they scored over 30 points last year?
Unreal.
If they could just be okay defensively, they could be a Super Bowl contender. And Pittsburgh brings in Aaron Rodgers. There's three fascinating teams in that division.
Yeah, let's start with Baltimore. Yes, absolutely they can. You guys know how close they've been at different times with Kansas City. Last year in the season opener, it was essentially the guy had half a shoe size smaller, right? They win. or let me rephrase. They have a chance to go for two for the win in that ballgame, which they absolutely were getting ready to do. That would have been interesting there. They had Kansas City at home in the AFC title game 2 years ago. Did not win that one. They have more than enough talent to do it. We all understand that. Now the key is, can you do it? Everyone talks about it. We can get it done. We can do this. We do it. Burrow's the only real breakthrough, right? I mean, one year they broke through. Let's talk Cincinnati. Look, they changed coordinators with Lou Anarumo going out mainly because it just felt like you had to do something. My question is, did you change enough with players? Because when you look on that roster, they've changed a few guys out, but who have they brought in that's going to change things and become the true difference maker? Henderson had 17 and a half sacks last year. Getting him signed was paramount, but where are his tag team partners? Do we really expect Joseph Asai all of a sudden now have double-digit sacks? Where's Miles Murphy, who was a first-round pick? Shamar Stewart held out for a while. Is he going to be ready to go and give them what they need off the edge? Your point is well taken. If their defense is just adequate, they should be great because of the offense. But we shall see. And who was that third team? You gave me a third one.
Steelers with Aaron Rodgers coming to town.
Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. I know everybody talks about winning Super Bowls all the time, and Pittsburgh's no different. I think that if Aaron Rodgers plays all 17, Pittsburgh will be a factor. I put them in the playoffs every year until further notice. Everyone gets sick in Pittsburgh of hearing, hey, we've never had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. Blah, blah, blah. It drives them insane. I keep telling them, you know who drives insane even more is Mike Tomlin, because Mike would like to go deeper in the playoffs. Their last three playoff appearances, as you guys know, they just lose. They get jumped on. Like, this is not the Pittsburgh Steelers you expect. You don't expect Pittsburgh to make the playoffs, and then you know they're going to be one and done. And they have been. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. I think Aaron Rodgers gives them a chance to win a playoff game this year. I don't know about going deeper in Super Bowl. I'm not quite there yet. But I don't bet against Coach Tomlin making the playoffs. And this time, I think he's got a quarterback that gives him a chance to actually win a playoff game.
Charles, it feels like every year we find a kind of a new darling or a new team, and you know, we spend so much time making lists, and you know, the talking heads, us included, decide that this team is now reached the royalty. They're going to compete with Mahomes and Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore, et cetera. Last year, I felt like it was Houston, and on paper, I went, yeah, I see it. And if there's such a thing, again, as a disappointing 10-7, that was that. You might say Washington could be that team this year. You already talked about them. Yeah. But to me, this year, it's Denver. I look on paper, and I go, I like every single thing that I see here, and yet it feels like people have already crowned them, you know, back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl champs at this point, where the hype train has left the station. Where are you at on Denver, and you know, will the rubber meet the road there?
I love where you're going with that one, and it makes a lot of sense. I said from the time the Super Bowl went to halftime, I mean, you guys helped me out here. Did anyone think that Kansas City was coming back that day?
Nope.
Didn't look good.
Did not look good, right? So from halftime on, I felt like if you're an AFC West opponent, and I was looking specifically at the Chargers, specifically at Denver, you're rubbing your hands together and saying, guys, this is a great opportunity, okay? They, you know, they look vulnerable now. Now, whether that's true or not, because remember, they did go 15-2, okay? But they went 15-2. What's the next thing you got to look at deeper? How did they win those games? Because that was a close 15-2, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, they were 15-2 because they were 11-0 in one-score games last year. How often do you get 11-0 in one-score games? It's rare, right? I think about it like that in terms – I think about it the way we think about takeaways. I think the last team to repeat in takeaway plus-minus champion was Seattle with the Legion of Boom. That's how hard it is. The ball bounces different. Things change year after year. But Kansas City, I just don't know that 11-0. I think they'll have a lesser record this year, but I think they'll have a better team. I think they've done a good job out wide. Tyquan Thornton looks like he might actually be a viable receiver in the NFL, which would be huge for Patrick Mahomes. They add to the speed with Worthy so that they can finally get the ball downfield and open up some more space for Kelce and crew underneath. They've got to do those sorts of things. They got the left tackle that plays. But flipping it to Denver, everything you're talking about is on target. If there is such a thing as arriving a year early, I thought Denver did. Because I don't know that we saw last year as being the year that Denver is going to make that move. But remember, in Kansas City, they were kicking a field goal to beat them, and Leo Chanel blocked it. Throw away the last game of the year when they blew out Kansas City. That does not count. Kansas City didn't play anyone. They were locked in with their record, the whole deal. But Denver felt really good kicking the heck out of them. This is an opportunity for them, yes. But in this case, guys, I'm still saying, this is like Ric Flair, man. You've got to still walk that aisle with Kansas City. Okay, you still got to go out and take them out. The Chargers, Denver, both of them should feel really good about their opportunities and chances. But until they take them out, I'm still rolling with KC.
All right, last one for me for Charles Davis, who's kind enough to preview the NFL season with us here in week one. Charles, the Bears, I'm completely enamored with Ben Johnson's first year. Mm-hmm. It seems like a ton of negative press on Caleb in the preseason in camp,
yeah. And
everyone's just piling on, but we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen him play. What are you expecting from Caleb Williams, and I'll even throw Michael Penix in as kind of a second-year quarterback thing, two guys where there's questions in Penix's case just because we haven't seen a lot of them, but that's a winnable division.
Yeah, I'll start with Penix and crew. Remember, when he got inserted late in the season, they were playing meaningful games. He wasn't inserted just to run out the string. You guys saw him in a big game in D.C., huh?
Yeah, we did.
And he gave him an opportunity. So I think this kid's going to be just fine. And Atlanta, we're going to continue with the going for it phrase. Did Terry Fontenot, their general manager, not signal that he's going for it when he traded back into the first round to get James Pierce to go with Jalen Walker?
That was wild.
Okay. That's telling the world, hey, in the NFC South, we think we can chase down Tampa if we get better pass rush, get some more heat on Baker Mayfield. That was a going-for-it move for Atlanta. The weird part for me, I think this is the best Tampa team they've had in the last 5 years. You know, everybody, the last 4 years have felt like, hey, we're close. We should have got them. How'd they let them? Because remember, they were like 8-9 winning a division, 10-7. It wasn't anything that just blew you away. I think this is their best team. I think Tampa's got a chance to be a Super Bowl-type team this year. But Atlanta's going to go for it. I think Penix is going to be fine. I like what they're doing offensively. We'll see how it goes from there. But who was the guy again, the first one?
Caleb Williams.
Oh, Caleb Williams. Guys, were the Bears not America's darlings his rookie year? Remember, they did that. I called it the hard knocks bounce. Remember Detroit's hard knocks bounce, where everyone in the country was like, my favorite team is X, but I really like those Lions.
Yeah.
I felt like the Bears got a very similar bounce and vibe, and maybe I was wrong, but I'm looking at that wide receiving core. I thought the O-line would be okay. Would they add the running back position? Could they make a little move? And then everything went to heck. How come it all comes back to D.C.? It really does, doesn't it? You guys are there. The ball bounces up in the air. Tyreek Stevenson screaming at the crowd, comes back, doesn't do his job properly. In fact, tips the ball. There's the catch. Our crew had them the very next week, and they talked all the right things and laid a massive egg in that game, and it was over right there. Ben Johnson gets a chance to resurrect it, the whole deal. But, guys, early on in training camp, how bad was the chatter about Caleb Williams? You were getting these videos where he's not hitting the net, throwing the ball, we're getting these things where he's too hopping passes. People are just losing their minds. People are going, Tyson Bagent should be the starting quarterback. All that was happening. And then what happened? The Buffalo preseason game. And Caleb Williams looked like the number one pick that they had drafted. How well did he throw the ball that night, guys?
That was pretty.
Bam, 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 right spot, hitting the guy in the right place, whole deal. This gives them the opportunity. They are just in a lousy division, aren't they? Could they be in a worse division for trying to improve? Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago. Couldn't be worse. And they're going to be a better team this year. I'm firmly convinced of that. Can they survive the gauntlet that is the other three? I think they'll be improved, but I'm still not sure they're a playoff team. But I am going to go out on a crazy limb and say Caleb Williams finally ends the 4,000-yard passing drought for Chicago quarterbacks.
Feels right. Charles, football's here. Enjoy this weekend, man, and we love having you on. Really appreciate the time, as always.
Always great to talk with you guys. Have fun. Have a great, great year. And look, I said it before. If you're a broadcaster, if you're someone covering, if you're whatever, and you're going out to Washington now and you're going to their facility, it's like a new world out there. And everyone enjoys going now as opposed to what it was like before. Give everybody involved from ownership on down a ton of credit. And by the way, they should have a darn good football team too.
Charles Davis, CBS Sports and NFL Network on Grant and Danny. Next, we'll give you our first feel on the matchup with the Giants at Northwest Stadium this Sunday. It is a game week.